Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, hello, everyone, and this is an awesome topic tonight. It's a two-parter. Of course, we always have awesome topics, but I think this will resonate with many, many people. It's about our spiritual cache, and you know what a cache is. It's what holds, you can think of it as a computer. Your cache is any place you go, it stores all of this, and every once in a while, you got to clear it out. You have to delete things, and sometimes you have to restore. Well, your spiritual cache is similar, except that it's memories. I mean, like some people can remember things when they were little. I can. Some people can't remember them at all. But I think Maya will be able to really tell you more about it, the psychological field views and stuff like that. But Maya, welcome, Maya. I have my lovely Maya Moon here today, tonight, of course, as usual. And we make a great team, and I always hear nice remarks about the two of us and how well we work together. So, Maya, I'm going to let you start this off.
Okay. Well, hi to you, Natalie. And it's, as always, it's great to be here, and welcome to all the listeners. If you're new, I always say if you're new, I know that you'll really enjoy the show. And I agree with Natalie that it resonates with all of us. Some of it will, you know, parts of it will resonate with everyone. And so how I kind of look at it, I think that was a great analogy, is like a computer. And the way that my guides teach is that we have a part of our spiritual cache, however you want to say it. And it holds in that, it stores in there, kind of like a computer, not just what we can see, like our pictures and our documents, for example, but I know that there's ways people can get into a computer, and even if you, for example, have deleted your browsing history, deleted cookies, there's a way the right person, I hate to use the example of if the police confiscated, but there's a way to get into that hard drive and to pull, and they can actually, it's actually possible to pull pretty much every place that you've been and every place that you visited. So if we kind of look at that in our spiritual cache, then what we carry there is every memory. Now, this is just what my guides teach. So this is just their belief on this subject, and it doesn't make it, you know, necessarily, it doesn't blanket it as being true, and there's no other way of looking at it. But they feel it also carries memories of past lives. And for many of us, it's kind of on a need-to-know basis. It remembers what it was like in utero and the energy that surrounded us when we were in utero and early childhood. And then there's like a set of gates and security systems. And that's the best way that it was, that's how it was kind of presented to me. So that's the way that I'll just kind of to give a definition and an explanation on this topic is there's a set of safety gates and then, you know, a double set with extra locks and keys, if you will, because some of the information does not serve us at all to remember and would only create chaos. There's many people that, you know, want to know about their past lives, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. That's past life readings are amazing. I love doing them. and I've never had a client receive a past life reading from me or from anyone that didn't say, wow, that was incredible. So there's a lot of things that we could access and remember that would be good and helpful and we would enjoy, but then there's a lot of information that would only disrupt our lives, cause us chaos, and cannot serve us in any way. And if we were to remember, for example, if I was walking around and I could remember every past life I'd ever lived, let's say I lived 10 past lives, and I remembered everything about them, that probably wouldn't be good because it would interfere, and not only would I be, like, it's natural for us all to think about our current past and say, maybe I shouldn't have left that job back in 88, or maybe I shouldn't have, you know, maybe I should have went on and finished my schooling, whatever the case may be. Imagine if you had 10 other lives, and then you had relationships and families and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of different influences that come into play, a lot of different energies, and I believe we're all different. And for some of us, like Natalie, you said you don't remember your childhood. Well, now my...
I do remember some of it. I don't I remember parts of it.
You.
Yep.
So my response to you would be that those memories are there, but for some reason there's a gate shut and you're not accessing them. And now I have to tell everyone, because this happened to me, I have a litter of puppies, and this happened to me yesterday when I was talking to one of the new owners that were at Puppies going, we've had this terrible upper respiratory here in Arkansas and Missouri. I don't know if you've heard it on the news, but a lot of people have been hospitalized, and it's a really bad cough. So I'm really hoping, I may not be able to talk a lot, because that gets me coughing. So I do apologize in advance, but that's the worst thing about it. It's just this dry, terrible cough. So anyways, so Natalie, what my guys would say is that there's access and you remember that, you just don't have conscious memory. That makes sense. And it may not be because
I only remember like a few little scenes, Maya, just glimpses. And I've never thought to sit down and think about it, but I do remember several things. One of them was really important, but I'll let you continue on, and then we can go from there.
Well, and that's pretty much all. I was just going to say that in some cases, I believe that it's a deliberate, we're being deliberately kept from remembering because it's a memory that we may not be ready to deal with, or we may not be prepared, or it may be a memory that we have, you know, our spiritual core along with our emotional or psychological being has tucked that memory away because it's a negative memory or it can cause something negative. And then there's some that just aren't important to our lives. So there's a lot of different reasons. And, of course, each of us are individuals. And, you know, I know some people that irrelevant of whether they had a great life or a not-so-great life, they have, you know, these fine-tuned memories, and they're able to remember things back to when they were 2 years old, where other people just don't have that memory. So I think it can be individual, and I think it can be intentional that we don't remember, and I think it can also just be unintentional. It can just be a matter of not being necessary. And then I also believe that we have to purge that sometimes. Sometimes our memories, and that's what you were saying before, we're apt to, or we sometimes can tend to cling to memories, and we relive those situations over and over and over. And the problem is, in generally speaking, not always, but generally, reliving it doesn't make it any easier. It's not like, okay, well, if I relive this memory and I go through this 100 more times, I'll finally get it out of my system. It really doesn't work like that, because everything is always going to go back to having to accept without always understanding and walking in grace. So with that, I'll let you, I'll hand it back over to you.
Okay,
so
well, my memory, the furthest back I can remember, I was riding a tricycle, a maroon one. I must have been maybe 2. I was walking, so obviously if I'm riding a little tricycle. And I remember riding down the street, because we lived in an apartment building then. I can look to the right and see the apartment building. But the thing that really happened when I was that age, because we didn't move to the house until I was 4, so we stayed in the apartment. My mother didn't work at that time, or she was just home. Maybe it was a Saturday. Well, we lived, I don't even know what floor it was on. It wasn't the bottom floor. So she decided that she was going to clean the windows. Well, she put her hand up through the, you know, she lifted the window up, then she went around to clean the outside of the window, but the glass broke, and it cut her arm, one of her veins on her wrist. Well, of course, you know, she just said to me, go get Mrs. Brown. My aunt lived in the building, but she was downstairs. Mrs. Brown, obviously, I guess. I mean, I can kind of remember running down the hall, but that's all I remember. Anyways, had I have not done that, or if Mrs. Brown wouldn't have been home, my mother probably would have bled to death because it was that bad. And she had a terrible scar from it. So I remember that. I remember my little tricycle. Anything other than that, I really don't recall. But it's kind of, you know, strange that I remember something about my mom, that I actually did something really great for her. Not even knowing it, of course, and I've told about my life that it was not, you know, no, it was not stellar, but nonetheless, people always reminded me, you actually saved your mother's life, you know, because nobody was around. My dad was at work, and my, like I said, my aunt, her sister was down on another floor, and I'm only this little 2-3-year-old, whatever, and, you know, just running around down the hall. I remember running down the hall, but I don't remember getting the lady, but obviously I did. That's really the only thing I can remember. I remember something when I was 4, sitting on my dad's lap, looking out. It was like we had like a picture window in the front. It was a real big window. And I was sitting on his lap, and he said to me, oh, there's a little girl that you're probably going to go to school with. She looks like she's about your age. And she was, and her name was Linda. So it looks like you're going to have a friend that doesn't live, you know, just across the street. So that, you know, that was really great for me. I can remember going to kindergarten, sitting on the floor with crayons that, I don't know if you will remember these, Maya, but they were like hard crayons. They weren't Crayola now. They were hard, waxy-type crayons, but they were big. They were real thick, and they had a flat side to them. I remember those, and I remember the wooden toys in there. And that's all. That's really all I can remember of kindergarten, which I think is pretty good. Most kids, you know, don't even want to remember that, or don't even try. But if I can recall that easily. But I think too, isn't it true, Maya, that sometimes it's probably better that we don't recall some of the memories that we have in the cache, that they might, if you try to go too deep, and you keep, you know, sitting there and thinking and thinking, it might disrupt what you have going now, and it might not be that good for you to recall it. I don't know why I remember these incidents. They must have been important to me. You know, obviously saving my mother of sorts, I guess I did, and my little tricycle, it was maroon. It was the cutest thing. I remember riding it. And so, you know, you can look back into your childhood if you want. I don't think it hurt me in any way to remember those things, but they are there, you know. Now, does spirit decide what we remember, Maya, or is that just part of our own spiritual growth? Is that just part of us? Can we recall, or is it something that, you know, they always say about the Akashic Records, but is it something that we are allowed to remember? Or does it not work that way?
Well, I think that's a great question. And I think I feel that that can be debatable. So I'll share my understanding. And my understanding with that is that our spiritual being will not interfere with our free will and our pursuit of happiness or our pursuit of our path and purpose, even if that pursuit or along that journey or pursuit, we're going to make mistakes. So the way that I interpret how that's taught to me is that we spiritually, that memory may be put away where it's not easily accessible. However, if it's an intentional, if we have a strong intention or we have an agenda or where it's something bothering us or we're thinking, I really want to remember, you know, every time I hear this song or every time I see this, you know, a trigger happens, there, I know there's a memory that I've pushed aside. Many of us bury our memories, or we've talked about disassociating, where we've disassociated from that memory. And so it's not easily accessible, but I believe that if we push to remember that our spiritual being will open that memory up for us, that it will not make a decision over and above our free will, if that makes sense. It won't make it,
yeah, it
so
does.
That it doesn't pour it out, but if we're, you know, yanking on the bucket trying to get the water out, it's going to allow us, you know, to access that. And so a lot of people that perhaps know, you know, from what they've been told or for a myriad of reasons have very traumatic memories, even if it doesn't necessarily have to be with abuse, but it could just be with a fire or even divorce, things like that can cause trauma. You know, losing grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, so on and so forth. Some of those memories we've buried because they have allowed us to continue, otherwise they would hamper us. And so a lot of people will go different routes. Some people will go a spiritual route to bring those memories back into focus, so to speak, and then some will go more of a psychological traditional where talk therapy, hypnosis, of course, and there's licensed hypnotherapists that are not necessarily psychologists or licensed therapists that are able to assist with things like that. So my only, I guess, word of warning would be is that if you've suppressed a memory, it's not that it's not your right to, you know, recall that, but you might want to consider what you do remember and prepare yourself that perhaps that memory has been, you know, tucked away for a reason, and just be prepared and make sure that you are in a good place in your life. So in other words, if you're already struggling in your life with other things, or you're having issues, or sometimes, you know, we just go through that little rough patch of, you know, what's the meaning of life, or what is my meaning here? That might not be a good time to really delve into those darker corners. So that's the only thing. I believe, though, that we all have a right, if we so desire, to have memories. Now, when it comes to, when we're talking about, like, past lives, in utero, and really far back, that's a little bit different, because that's not really so much free will. That's not the natural order of things that we would remember in utero. But, you know, out of curiosity, have you ever met anyone, Natalie, that told you that they remembered things from when they were?
No. I mean, I know what I remember from past lives, especially one. But I'm trying to think. I don't know, maybe Rainbow Rose told me some things. She's a hypnotherapist, but not people in my circle. You know, I've never really told everybody, especially living around here. I mean, in Michigan, I just had one site. Now I've got so many, but I didn't, around here, I really don't brag about it. I just kind of leave it to spirit, if you will. If somebody asks me a question and I feel it's time for them to know something, I'll tell them or I'll direct them to the site. But I don't go around saying, oh, do you know I have a site, blah, blah, blah. So, no, I have to say no to that. I don't really know anybody that has approached me. Now, my circle is kind of small. I don't have a big circle of friends. Now, maybe if I was back in Michigan, I would I'm assuming I would have more, but I don't recall anybody speaking about it. And I have a question. Now, can you, can I just say to myself, okay, I want to remember some things when I was a little girl. Let's say I didn't know anything. Can you call up those memories like that?
I believe
that. Or does spirit decide? Or does spirit say, well, I don't think we need for her to remember that because it's not going to serve her at all. It's just going to drop her on her head. You know what I'm saying? I mean, is there some kind of something that actually would prevent you from recalling things, even if you tried?
I that's what I was saying before. I don't believe that there is. I believe that our spiritual being will try to dissuade us, perhaps, if they know that a particular memory is not going to serve our greater good. If our free will, if we're determined and we're, you know, we have strong intentions and we have an agenda and we're, you know, going through processes, whether that's meditation, hypnotherapy, working with a therapist, working with, you know, any or most of the experts, I'm assuming, on STARS, many of them I know for sure, and probably most, if not all, are able to read into a lot of that. Now, I would say that it would not be our place to bring, I know I personally would not bring forth a memory that someone had no idea about. What I may point them in the general direction and advise them what to do, but I would not tell someone something that I felt, unless I felt it could serve their greater good. Or if they said to me, you know, I keep having these feelings. So what I feel is that, you know, our spiritual self, and to me, that's connected with the collective, but the collective doesn't really come into play here. But definitely divine, whatever you recognize that to be. For me, it would be God. I believe that there is, that's why I said there's like a set of gates, or there's, if you want to say, there's several doors and locks and keys that we have to go through. So if we're, you know, if we're persistent enough and we are, you know, we're really motivated and we're determined that we're going to, you know, recall these memories, or we really feel that we need to pull that out, I don't believe that spirit is going to take that free will from us. They're going to allow us. Now, they may, I say they, but it's really not a they. Although to me, in a sense, it is. That energy, where that cache, where it's all being held, it may trickle that memory out in a way that that energy feels, or that core self of ours that's connected to the divine feels that we're able to handle it and to take it. So let's say someone had a traumatic, the easiest one that probably most of us think about is sexual abuse. You know, a memory. I mean, that's the easiest analogy. Let's say that you had something like that when you were very young, like between the ages of 2 and 5, and you don't have it in your conscious memory, but there's something there. It's just something that nags at you. And there's triggers, there's music you hear, or sights that you see, or smells, or something. And you, as a person, you decide, I know there's got to be a memory, there's got to be something went on with me and I really feel that I need to know what that is. So if you're determined and you're you know, following lead, talking to your family members, trying to remember back, remembering before and after, if you're on a mission, I believe that you're gonna wind up with access to that memory. Now, it may be gentle and it may come in, you know, like little spurts, and you may just be given just a little bit to see where you go from there. But I don't feel that our spirit will interfere with our free will. That's how I feel about it. So I don't know if you feel different.
No, it makes sense, and I have a caller, so the caller is listening, so just, you know, wait just a minute, I will get to you. I'm thinking of two, so now, past lives has nothing to do with your spiritual cast, is that what we're saying?
Say that again?
Past lives has nothing to do with your spiritual cast, or does
no,
it?
No, I believe it does. I believe that it carries all the memories from all past lives.
Okay, yes. It would make sense to me because of what one of my past lives was, and I've been told of another one, but I don't feel that one at all. I don't resonate with it at all, but I was told that. But I think I've carried it through, and I've told you about it. Is that I believe I was in the time when Jesus was walking the earth. I follow that story a lot, and it's on Sunday nights on CNN right now. There's a special every night, probably till Easter or something. And being the empath that I am, oh, it's hard for me to watch. Sometimes I can't even watch it. I mean, it just... And I've talked to Rainbow Rose about this a lot, and she said, well, just by the fact that Jesus came to you in your dream and you saw the bottom of him in your bathroom, you didn't make that up. There was no reason to do that. Of course not. She said, I feel that there is a connection. And, you know, one of my desires is to go to Jerusalem. I would really, but I don't know that I could handle it. It might really upset me. I don't know, but it's one of my desires to do if I ever, of course, it would cost a lot of money, of course, but you can certainly learn an awful lot, just like I learn about, you know, the animals because I want to go to Africa, Kenya, you know, I know a lot about that. But for some reason that I resonate with that, and I don't know, I think that's something that I'm supposed to access. I think it's because it's not going away, and I don't dwell upon it. I just kind of, if I see something and it triggers something like what's on every Sunday night, as soon as I saw it was going to be on, I'm recording them all because I think it's very important for me to understand what transpired and why and what and all of that. So I think, and the other one, you're going to laugh at this one. Rainbow Rose says I was a princess because she said, but my inner child is like that. She said, you were a princess and you got whatever you wanted, whenever you needed it. It was like at your beck and call, I want this, you got it, and so on. And she said, and now in this lifetime, you have to work a lot harder for it. And not that she says you stomp your feet and all of that, but she says, I feel that that's what you were. So you were used to it before. But now it seems to be, you know, not accessible. And sometimes you get upset. She didn't say that I'm a brat or anything like that. But she just said that sometimes you almost think like you should have this, not in a demanding way, but that it's your right to have it. Now, that could be, you know, she says, you just remind me of this little princess. I mean, she says, and I know that's what your inner child is, you know. And when you start to do that, you mess everything all up, she said. So it's best for me not to go back to that period of time because she said it's going to mess everything up for you because it's going to confuse you because you're not back in that time. You're now, and your life is different now. But the biggest one is my past life with Jesus. That's the one, and I'm certain of it as I'm sitting here. And but I it's nice to, and I don't even know how, well, it came to me because he came to me in my dream, and also that I saw him at a very difficult time in my life when I actually, and I always have to see now with my eyes. I can't just kind of have it in my head. You know how I am, Maya. So I saw, and as soon as I saw, I was fine. I just, it was like somebody helped me up. Okay, you did that, now let's move forward. And that's exactly what I did. And I didn't really think about it a whole lot until, you know, down the road, maybe even a year later, and then I realized what was done for me at that point in time. I mean, I still had difficulties, but I think I got the strength to know that I would get through it, that nothing was going to hurt me, no matter what. But that was that. So that's how I feel about my past life, the one that I probably have others in. And then this need to be around all these animals. I mean, maybe I was in a, you know, maybe I lived in another lifetime in a place where there was animals everywhere. I mean, I'm just like crazy fond of them. And everybody knows that. But that's the only thing that I can really remember. And anything else, I can remember bits and pieces of my childhood, like when I was in grade school, but I think many can. It's kind of nice if you can remember some things, but I would say don't try to pull in the bad ones, the bad memories. Don't put yourself back at that time when it wasn't so good. I mean, especially if you're doing so well now, just let it go. Don't even open the door. Just let it go. I think if it's supposed to be known to you in this lifetime, you're going to know about it. You're not going to be able to really stop it if it's that prevalent and important to your well-being. But anything bad, it's best just to leave it back and lock the door, throw the key away. Don't even go back there again. But do you remember things when you were a little girl, Maya? I'm sure you do.
I do. I have what I would call sporadic memories. I have a lot of chunks that are missing time, and I wanted to comment. I agree with you, too. The only part I would disagree with what you're saying is that if on the other hand, if your life is going well and you're very functional, and I mean not on just externally, you know, putting on a show, but you're right in your heart and your soul, you're doing really well, it doesn't really matter what happened in your past.
That's right.
You know,
exactly. That's a good point.
But on the other hand, if something is interfering and you're not able to access that potential inside you, whether it's career, relationships don't seem to be working out, you feel like you're always looking on the outside rather than being a part of the world, and you're continually feeling that something is off or not right, and for whatever reason, your instinct tells you or you feel that it might be related to a memory or memories, in that situation, then I feel that it might serve your greater good to go carefully and, you know, with professional guidance, whether, again, it's spiritual guidance or perhaps you belong to some type of, you know, you might belong to a religion, or, you know, you might be a pagan, you might be many different things, or, you know, traditional counseling, something like that, or even a really good friend, someone that you can trust. I would say that carefully, it may be time, and it may be for whatever reason you need to remember, because I believe both. I believe for many of us, it's intended for us to forget and leave those memories completely in the past.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, don't open it. Let it go. If you can, but sometimes you can't, right? Sometimes you'll get a trigger.
Yes. So for other times and other people and other situations, there's something that is we need to remember, we need to face with and deal with, because it's caused, like we talked about, the holes in our soul. It's caused some hole or tear, and in order for us to fix that, we can't fix anything until we deal with whatever it is that, you know, we have gone through, whatever we may have witnessed something. We may have seen a drive-by shooting. I mean, a three-year-old could see a drive-by shooting, and that could be enough. They could have tucked that away, and spiritually that memory was, you know, put up in the cache, and, you know, locked up until or unless there was a time when that person started to really seek that out. So it works both ways. I don't believe that we should shovel metaphorically and just start digging and tearing and, you know, digging
right.
up old holes.
I agree with that, too. That's what I think. I think it'll come on in its own time if it's supposed to. I'm going to get to this caller. Maya, if you can just say a few words. Let me get to her real quick. Or him.
Sure.
Could be him.
So for me personally, I would say that, and I would say this is true probably of the majority of humans, is I have memories. They probably go, a few of them go back. I just know because of what was going on in my family at the time. That's how I'm able to put an age or you know, get very close, not because I remember how old I was. It's just I know what, you know, like what age my brother was born and so on and so forth and what house we lived in at what age. So I have sporadic memories. I have some very detailed memories, probably going back to when I was about 2 or 2.5. And then I have what I would consider probably not quite average, but a little bit maybe more so than average. I have lapses in memory where I feel that I really should have more memories. There should be something in that time span, and I have nothing. And to date, to this point, I have never felt driven or felt the need to investigate those lapses and memory, if you will. And let me check and see if Natalie's back.
Yeah, I'm back. She just got disconnected, so I don't know if she'll call back or not.
Okay.
So, but I agree with you. I don't know if there's anything that I need to recall. You know, when you think about my life that I've had as a grown-up and look back, I don't even know. There wasn't really a comparison of what I did, like just for my mother or just remembering these. Although the memories are really kind of neat, like being on a little tricycle, I was having the best time. I was a happy little girl there. And maybe I'm supposed to remember that, you know, and they say there's always an inner child in us. Well, maybe I'm supposed to just kind of recall that once in a while. But I just remembered it. Isn't that funny? I remembered it from before, but it just brought it back when we were talking about memories. And Ken, now some of these memories, help, I'm sure they can help you. If something is gnawing at you and you keep thinking about it, like your past, and you have to make a decision, I would really like to know more, or do you just allow spirit to kind of bring it forth for you? How does that work?
I believe that you have to be active in the attention. And so I would have to say, if it were me and I was trying to remember something in particular, then I would have to, you know, kind of put that intention out there and manifest that and say, I know that something happened to me between the ages of 4 and 5, and I know that it has to do with this. I'm just making this up. This is not true, just to be clear. And I know it has something to do with when I smell smoke, like when people are burning in their backyard. So I know that it has something to do with a fire, and I feel that I really, in order for me to be able to move forward and put this behind me, I feel that I need to remember this. There's something about this memory that I feel it's important that I recall it. So what we would do is we would keep thinking along those lines, and we might go to bed at night and, you know, have that active on our mind saying, you know, maybe I'll dream about it, or we may start, like I said, asking family members, you know, starting, I guess, with our parents, if we have parents and they're around, and then extended family members, and just by telling them, you know, there's something bothering me. I feel like there's a memory, and it's right on the edge of my consciousness, and it's something that's starting to interfere, because that to me, that's when we know that we probably do need to dig that up, is when the interference of not remembering becomes much greater than whatever it is. What we don't remember and we don't need to doesn't interfere with us. It's insignificant to us. So when it becomes significant enough that we're almost haunted, not in a paranormal sense, then and so that's how we begin. Well, all of that is transferred to our spiritual being and core. And so that's when I would say, if you want to say, they say, okay, well, start unlocking the doors. Don't unlock all of them, but start, you know, with a little bit of access and let's see how that goes if she or he continues to want to delve into that. So let's say that person then, you know, is thinking about it actively and pursuing that memory and wanting to know, for whatever reason, it's like unfinished business. We can't always force another person, you know, or a job. You know, they might just say, well, I'm sorry you're fired, I can't tell you any more than that. You know, we can't force that to be finished to our satisfaction, but when it comes to our own lives and selves, we generally can, at least when it comes to our memory. So then we would just keep pursuing it until we remembered enough that we either had full recall and we went from there with how we dealt with it, or we recalled enough that we got to a point and I said, well, now I remember. I remember there was a fire, and I remember... and again, this is not true. This is an example. This did not happen to me. I might say, oh my gosh, I remember I was playing with matches. Grandma had just told me, don't ever play with the matches. And I remember I accidentally started a fire, and I remember it burned part of the house, and Grandma was in the hospital. That's just an example. So I believe that our spiritual cache and what they're going to allow us, they're not going to interfere with our free will. They're just going to see how far we're going to take it. So maybe I would get to the point where I would realize that I had accidentally, as a young child, started a fire where someone maybe got hurt or there was some damage, and then I was okay. I didn't need to delve any further. Or, you know, I mean, we could maybe stop before then. It's up to us, but I believe that spirit is very careful and cautious. I don't think, you know, it's not my belief system that we have one or two curiosity, times where we feel, say, I wonder what happened back in the year so-and-so, and suddenly, boom, you know, all these memories flood us. That would be... Even positive memories, I don't know that would be a good thing to have all that just come crashing down on us. I mean, so I believe it's kind of a controlled, if you will, it's very controlled. And I believe for some people, they need to remember to move on, and for other people, they need to forget to move on, to move forward.
Right. That's very true, especially if there's deaths that you really didn't, maybe you were little and you it was just devastating to you and you didn't understand the process. And I never had a problem with that. I mean, my experiences with it that I did have were not bad. Now, is it sometimes that you don't recall something? I mean, is it possible not to recall?
Yes.
If you don't have to? Maybe you don't have to.
I don't believe it's always necessary. I mean, now I come from a spiritual background first and foremost, but I also pursued, you know, psychology and that in high, you know, I almost said high school. Well, yeah, high school, but in college. So that was my forte. And, you know, it's not so much that way anymore, but the old school of thought used to be that the only way that we could, you know, quote unquote, be cured or healed or recovered was to be dredged through every little thing that happened. And they've really moved away from that. And that type of therapy still exists, but it's not considered, it's not the dominant or prominent therapy anymore. They no longer feel that it's necessary for a person to achieve their potential and to become balanced, happy, functional individuals, and they have to dredge up every tiny little horrible thing that happened. That's not the school of thought anymore. The school of thought is pretty much what we talked about. It's actually a little more spiritual now, and that is if it's not causing a problem and there's nothing to be gained, then there's nothing to be gained. If there seems to be problems that are, you know, preventing us, then it's time to perhaps look at what occurred in our past. And sometimes it can be as simple as the reaction of people around us to an event, you know, like you're a strong, very strong empath. So we could say that an accident, even let's take something as simple as breaking your mom's, let's say she had an heirloom vase, you know, or vase, if you want to say vase. And as a child, you were running and you accidentally broke it. Her reaction could have easily have scarred someone who is sensitive and who is a very strong empath. And believe it or not.
Yeah, you know, and it's right. You're right about that. And I want to interrupt you before I forget. It's true, because if I can remember losing a key to the house, and you would have thought I showed a stranger how to get into my home and where it was. I mean, she just ran on a rampage about this stupid key that I was like in seventh grade, and I had to come home, and so I needed a key. I was always coming home to a house that was, you know, by myself, and I lost it in somebody's yard. We were playing outside, you know. Well, my mother did not let that go for a really long time, and I don't know how it affected me now. I mean, I've never had... you know, like I have a son, and I don't recall ever doing that to him, you know, hollering at him because he lost something that was so valuable when it wasn't really valuable, because the person that found the key would never know where to use it. And I knew that as a little girl, and I kept thinking, why is she so upset about a key? But I don't know if that did anything to me then. She wasn't that strict, but I just remember that, losing that key, and she just flipped out. She thought I grabbed the person out of the hand and said, well, here, that fits this door right here. Of course it didn't.
Right. What that, you know, what that signifies to me, what I get from that, is that forced you to shoulder a burden of what the message was, even though you were able to assimilate that was not correct, emotionally and spiritually, the message you received is our family is at great risk because you were careless. So that placed a very, very heavy burden upon you. And I'm sure that even though you may not, that's a great example of, you may not be aware of certain situations where that's played out in your head and that affects you or has, has the echo of that, if you will. Some people say we have recordings in our head. Some people say echoes. But that, I would say, has been played out to you. And probably, whether you are aware of it or not, has probably caused some problems somewhere along the way, because that was the message. The message that she was giving is that because you lost the key, we're all in
right. We're at risk now. I'm blaming you for this. That's exactly what she said. That was my fault. And it's interesting because when I lost my husband, I called some therapists, right? And the one lady said to me, she says, because she said, well, tell me about your husband. And I told her a little bit. She said, we need to find out. You had a strong mother. Why did you choose a strong man to marry? She said, there's something there. And she told me about this. It's an eye movement thing that you do with this light that they have. It's a certain light. And she said, I bet you any money we'll find out that because you went, she said, really, you went like from the frying pan into the fire. But
right.
I want to know why. Well, we could really analyze it. I mean, because of what happened to me, but not to say that my whole life was a total mess. But obviously there were some good times. But if you think about that, even that key, maybe because the responsibility was on me, maybe that did something to me throughout my whole life, carrying this. That if I don't do this, I'm going to get totally blamed for this. But I don't recall that. When I was in high school and that was like seventh grade. When I went to high school, I was okay, but I seemed to be anyways. I mean, I when I look back, Maya, I think about how much I spent alone, and it's the worst thing for me right now is being alone. So it's like the opposite. You would think that, she should be used to this. She should know, but it didn't mean I liked it years ago. It didn't mean that. It was something that I thought, oh, good, I get to be home so I can read and nobody will bother me and I can listen to my music, turn it up as loud as I want, which I did, and I did read a lot and I did think a lot. And we decided that I was probably getting an awful lot of angelic things coming back to me that I wasn't even aware of because I didn't even know. I mean, I knew about church, but I didn't really know anything else, not what I know now. So maybe it did have an effect on me somehow, and I can't remember anything else that I ever did. I was probably very careful not to ever lose something or get blamed for something because she just did not let it go, and it probably did a number on me, I'm sure. But I was able to rise above it, and I don't think it was just me. It was like I was spiritually picked up. Okay, don't let this bother you. This is nonsense. This is not your fault. Nobody's going to come in the house. Nobody's going to hurt you because they find a stupid key in a lawn. And I forgot about it. I was thinking about it just now. I forgot about it after it happened for many years. And then I recalled it, maybe 10, 15 years ago. I remembered that, and I couldn't figure out why somebody would do that to their child. Raising my son, it didn't reflect on my ability to raise my son at all. As a matter of fact, I probably went the opposite way, so caring and understanding and having his best interest always, always. And but isn't it strange when things happen to you, how it carries through our lives and we don't even know it until we sit back, like tonight, and we think about it and think, what happened? So you think this might have had an effect on me, this burden that was placed on me about this key?
Yes, 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 because of everything. We always have to look at the surrounding influences and energies and, was it an isolated incident? But with your mom, as I know, it was not. It was par for the course, and it was an opportunity for whatever, issues she was dealing with, which were not healthy. Obviously, it was an opportunity to shame and place guilt on you. And I'm glad that you didn't allow it to, and you may have been...
No, I don't think I did. Yeah, I forgot it, I guess. I don't know, or it was just put out of sight and I didn't remember it until I have remembered it before. And I went home and I just thought, I was thinking, well, this is really stupid. It's a stupid key. It doesn't have her house address on it. You know, I mean, it made no sense. It lacked all the sense in the world. And now if my father would have been home and heard her, he probably would have expressed to her, her name was Mary, Mary, what do you think is going to happen? Somebody's going to actually come to our door and know where our house is? I think he would have stood up for me or just went at her and said, now, you know, that's, what are you getting upset about? That you're yelling at her for nothing. This is dumb. See, he was like that. He was a quiet man. And he, you know, she ruled the house, and very old-fashioned. In her own way, she was. Some things she wasn't, but, yeah, that I don't think she ever did anything like that to me again. Maybe I didn't allow it. Maybe I was so careful that I didn't allow it to happen again. Because
or maybe
whatever.
Maybe because you, like you're sharing, you're saying that you were like this stupid. And even though maybe you didn't, you know, respond to her that way or share those thoughts with her.
No, oh, no, I would never have done that.
She didn't receive the reaction that she had hoped for. She didn't weaken you. She didn't crumble you. And so there was, you know, that's probably why it wasn't repeated. Or if it was, you had that divine intervention or that inner strength that kept you from allowing that. But, you know, just the fact that you remember that key incident tells me that it impacted, and it may have impacted you. We can have memories even that are negative in how they occurred, but they still end up having a positive effect on our lives. And it can be mixed. They can be, you know, negative to a certain point, and then they can become positive. So it can go both ways. And, you know, I think that was right what the counselor said. But that's just patterns. It's just like people that watch their, you know, it's usually their mother. It can go both ways. But we think about, you know, abuse or addiction, and we would think automatically, if we grew up in a bad situation like that, wouldn't that be the last thing we would choose? But actually, it's the first thing. Actually, it's very difficult to break those cycles because they're ingrained.
Yeah, and it's amazing, Maya. Well, and you have discussed many times and said to me that I should have turned out to be a monster, a greedy, gimme, gimme, because I didn't have any of that. You know, and most times, a lot of times you go to the other end of it. You become what you weren't as a little kid. But for some reason, and because of divine intervention, I went totally the way I was supposed to the max.
Right.
And that was not a mean lady, a mean little girl, never. Mm-mm, no, I was even understanding when I was little. So, I mean, but a lot of people are not like me, and they could have had this affect them and been petrified of losing things. Oh, I didn't realize we're near the end. Oh, my gosh, we're talking so much. No wonder we did a two-parter on this. But anyways, I guess we should say our good nights, and we'll carry this on next week, and I'll go back into my memory banks and see what else I can pull up, and we'll figure it out. But I love you, Maya Moon, and I always love having the show with you, and Candy was in the room. Thank you, Candy. She's wonderful, and it's really a pleasure and a delight. And I'll talk to you this week, Maya Moon, and I love you.
Okay, loves everyone. Good night.
Okay, good night, everyone. See you same time next week for Spiritual Cash Part 2. Good night.